And this is The Naked Scientist with Kat Tarney and with me, Chris Smith.
If you've got any questions about emerging infections or any of the other topics we've been discussing in today's show, email us at studio@thenakedscientist.com. You can tweet at Naked Scientists or find us on Facebook.
Today, quick transport links between cities mean emerging infections can spread globally very rapidly. So scientists need a way of following the course of the disease. And Pete Skidmore has been finding out how medical mapping provides an insight into the dynamics of disease spread.
Plotting the spread of disease onto maps is an essential tool for governments and health organisations trying to stem the tide of epidemics, because it allows them to plan where resources such as vaccines and sanitation will be most useful. To find out more, I spoke to Dr. Tom Koch, a medical geographer from the University of British Columbia in Canada.
Medical mapping as a consistent tool in the study of public diseases began in 1796 with a study of yellow fever. It is the way in which we take a collection of events and then we plunk them into a specific geography where we can test the relation between the occurrence and the environment that either promotes or inhibits it.
Thinking about the modern world now, obviously there's a lot more mobility between cities. There's a lot of figures going around that no city is 24 hours away from any other city. Is there any way that we can adapt to cope with the different epidemiological factors with our much more mobile society?
Globalization really is just a speeded up version of the mercantilism and then the industrialism, which has long been in place. But it was really the Crusades, the travel between cities, which brought us the plague in the 14th century. It was globalization and it was trade and it was the passage of people from one country to another, which brought us cholera in the 19th century. So the first thing to recognize is this is nothing new. It might have been speeded up some, but it's a difference of degree and not kind. What the rapidity of travel means is it will be even harder, despite all of our vaunted technology, to stop either the evolution of our microbial friends or the progression of the disease that they eventually hit upon.
Infections may be able to spread across the world more quickly now than at any other time in history, but surely with the advances in global communication and social media, it's easier to track epidemics. I spoke to David Piggott, a DPhil student at the University of Oxford, who studies the different ways we build disease maps.
We believe systems such as HealthMap and Biocaster, GenBank and potentially social media can help. HealthMap and Biocaster are websites that use data mining algorithms to trawl the web looking for non-conventional data sources. So they look at news articles, other websites that wouldn't ordinarily come up if you're using a standard academic literature-based search engine. And combined, they're bringing up about 400 new posts every day pertaining to different diseases. And then finally, Twitter and social media at the minute represents an uncertain but very promising route nonetheless, where we can use the tweets if they are relating to a disease, for instance. That would be the hardest task, trying to identify what keywords are critical for which disease and try and use information from that. But Twitter is a very noisy system when it comes to disease reporting. Previously, people have identified that Twitter trends for influenza and dengue predict trends in case reports from conventional systems like the CDC in America by up to 2 or 3 weeks before. So it has the potential to help, but we need to do a lot of work to determine the accuracy of those data points.
So you mentioned Biocaster and HealthMap. Have these at all helped in the recent epidemics, like H7N9, the SARS-like coronavirus?
So HealthMap and Biocaster have been used in that, particularly just picking up news reporting in China, for instance. But yeah, given there's a lag time between case reporting and National Health Service reporting level, it's the hope that HealthMap and Biocaster could try and reduce that lag in delay, especially when it comes to a very novel infection, where actually it's the speed of information gathered that's the most important aspect.
So where will the next pandemic come from? Tom Koch has the answers.
we know that the next pandemic is almost a certainty, I would say, within 10 years. And it will start, as pandemics always do, in a type of area which is densely settled, where there is huge social and economic inequality, such that there will be a dense group of people living in poor surroundings, often with their animals, and that it will spread from there to a primary city and from there to other primary cities. So it may be that it starts in China or Vietnam, places where we have huge densities and huge income inequalities, and then it will spread with travelers first in a local area while the virus or bacteria gets set, and then it will grab an airplane and fly on off.
And is mapping prepared for that?
Sure. As the data comes in, we can map it, and we can very quickly predict, depending on the nature of the specific microbe, its rate of diffusion to primary and secondary sources. We know how to do that. More important is, can we, and why are we not identifying the places where the disease is likely to come and putting our international energy into the type of development which will limit the opportunity for the virus and bacteria to proliferate, mutate, and then spread.
So new diseases are constantly emerging, but hopefully new methods of mapping them will allow us to stop them in their tracks.